Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we are your co-hosts. On behalf of us both, thank you so much for listening.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org to donate. We'd love for you to become a part of our family. We're on a mission to help strengthen your mental health and relationships with God and those you love the most. Help us as we work to strengthen, again, families and bring a message of help, hope, and encouragement to today's generations.
Your gift ensures this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's show, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's go ahead and get started.
Joining us today to talk about Safe Haven Love and Marriage is Dr. Sharon May. Sharon is the founder and president of Safe Haven Relationship Counseling Center in San Diego, California. She received her PhD in marriage and family therapy and is a certified EFT, emotion-focused therapist and supervisor. Her dissertation and related research work have focused on attachment theory and the importance of healthy and strong marriage and family relationships being safe havens. I really like that. Over the years, Dr. May has been featured on many radio programs such as Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, where I had the pleasure of interviewing her several times. Dr. May has published numerous articles in psychological journals, contributed chapters in marriage and family books, and she has written two terrific books of her own that I highly recommend: Safe Haven Marriage, and How to Argue So Your Spouse Will Listen. She's on the AACC Executive Board and shares life and work and maybe a little skiing with her husband, Mike. They make their home in Carlsbad, California. Sharon, what a delight to have you. Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. Zach sends his regards. By the way, he wanted to do this interview, Sharon.
Oh, I'm so glad. Tell Zach I said hello, and I'm thrilled to be here with you today, Tim.
Sharon, Ecclesiastes 9:9, and we're going to talk about safe haven, love, and marriages. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, live joyfully with the one you love all the days of your life. But Sharon, that's a pretty tough assignment when it seems like everything is working against our love and marriage. You're out on the front line. What are you seeing? What's captured your attention? And what do you think's really at the heart of that culprit that takes away that connectedness that we all want and crave?
Yes. I think you made a really good point, Tim. I think couples today really do want that emotional connection with their spouse. Couples today really do want to make it. But more than ever, the pressures on a couple cause them to fight and argue, which causes them to wonder, because we're fighting, we're arguing, we just can't see eye to eye, are we meant to be together? How can we get over this hump? And it keeps couples very discouraged today.
Sharon, in the midst of it, when I think back through a lot of the couples I've worked with, Julie and I went through a tough season early in our marriage. When you're sitting alone in the quiet corners of your heart, there's a lot of profound sorrow. And people begin, by the way, in relational conflict and troubled relationships like this to suffer the consequences physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, and more, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's an epidemic of loneliness. So couples more than ever are disconnected from really strong, good, healthy, in-person communities. And couples usually wait 4 years before they get help. And so that stress, that grief, that loss, that questioning, couples sit with for 4 years, and it does. It creates heart disease, literally. It breaks our heart because the stress hormones flow through us during that time of stress. But you know, Tim, all couples fight and argue. And I think the younger generation comes into marriage hoping that it is more like a Disney movie. We're going to fall in love. First, I'm going to wait later before I marry, and then finally marry. And the one that I marry, because they're the one, it's just going to work out. But marriage doesn't just work out. It is hard work. And it's very sobering for couples to realize that good marriages are filled with conflict. I don't agree with you. We're different. And we've got to work this out. And usually we work out our issues with arguing, and how do we do that in a way that keeps us emotionally connected?
Sharon, there's something about to love and be loved. When that piece is right, it's such a beautiful thing. You don't have to go very far in Scripture to realize, too, that God made us in His image, meaning we have a triune God. Our God is relational. He places the same impetus in the heart of man. And when He looks over all of creation, He says it's good. But then He says, before the fall, but there's one thing that's not good. It's not good that man be alone. I'll make a helpmeet fit for him. And so, Sharon, in that piece there, you begin to realize that we were made for connectedness, for love vertically and horizontally. And if you go on a little bit further, it says, therefore shall a man leave both father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they two twain shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were unashamed. There's something really profoundly beautiful there. It's this sense of feeling free. I'm going to grow old with you in love. I'll feel safe with you. Sharon, can you talk to us about what love is? Because at the heart of this, because I want people to grab why it's so emotionally difficult when people don't feel loved. But what is love to us?
And love is this attachment bond, this connection we have with each other that develops over time. It takes 2 years for this bond to form, where we feel we are home. That this relationship then becomes a safe haven to which we can turn to, knowing this person loves me, cares for me, will be there for me. I can trust them with my heart, and I can come home, and then I can be encouraged and fueled up, and then I can venture out in the world. I can face the stresses and the difficulties, all the while knowing I have home to come to. And when this relationship is a safe haven, yes, it's going to be difficult. Yes, we argue, but we can come back and repair. We can say, I'm sorry. I do love you and care for you. You are important to me. This commitment that I've made with you is going to last. You know, we can work this out. I know we disagreed. I know we don't see eye to eye. I know maybe I was ugly last night, but we'll work this out because it's you I want to grow old with, and you are home. And this safe haven God wants us to have with our spouse, and He also wants us to have it with Him, that He is home no matter what. He's got us. He's there. And we were created to live in safe havens. And for those of us that marry, it's our spouse, it's our family and community, and we thrive when we have that safe haven, marriage and community. We just do better in life. We weren't created to be alone.
You and I have had this conversation many times that there's nothing more beautiful in all the world than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they actually love you, or you feel loved. And nothing more painful than to be in a relationship with someone who's supposed to love you and they don't, or you don't feel loved in that relationship. Sharon, I was talking to a young man, played sports, and talked about a bad experience with a coach. And boy, it caught my attention because he said, Tim, there was a moment when the coach turned his back to me. It was like he said, I'm not going with you anymore. I'm going here. And he said, Tim, he never let me have a chance again. He turned away from me. And Sharon, it ripped the soul out of him, out of this young man. It did. And he, for years, spun, you know, because of that. Sharon, when you go into a loving relationship, you hear what I'm saying, where you've got a covenantal bond, you've committed to each other, and somebody turns away from you, or worse, begins to hurt you in some way. That's brutal.
Yes, it does. It breaks our heart. When we marry, we are marrying in hopes that this person will be there no matter what. And we are each other's, you know, partners in life. As we grow and mature, we make mistakes and we learn. And when we feel that this person with us is giving up on us, doesn't like us anymore, is no longer committed or hurts us, it is devastating. It is devastating. And sometimes, Tim, we can feel this devastation when in the middle of a regular everyday argument, where we suddenly feel that our spouse is saying something or turned away and walked away, like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't know what else to say. You know, this is ridiculous. And they turn around and walk away from the argument. It can raise the alarms inside of us saying, danger, danger. You're not my safe haven. You're walking away in this middle of an argument. And it can raise those alarms that make us feel unloved, uncared for. And it is this battle, this everyday battle in a marriage that we have to recognize and face, that those everyday arguments are usually triggering those perceived life and death moments. You don't care about me. You don't love me. You don't see me or value me. And when those alarms sound and we turn on each other, that is a slippery slope.
When I don't feel safe, secure, significant in that relationship. Sharon, I know a number of people are saying now that the ability to accept influence from your spouse is the hallmark of a healthy relationship. You can't accept influence from someone you don't feel safe with because you really feel like they're playing a game with you. I'm not going to go there again. I'm not going to let you do that. You're not going to touch me. I promise you. You're not doing that because if I've received nothing but woundedness from you, whether real or perceived, I close my spirit. And Sharon, therein again lies the crutch, because if we're out of control and we're broken and we get into this cycle, if you will, of disaffection, I wall off even more and more. And we can go to the red zone really, really fast, can't we?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, when couples get married, I'll always say, be aware of your dragon. Be aware of what you're sensitive to. Be aware of what makes you feel unloved and uncared for. It might be, you know, you're telling me what to do. You left the house without saying goodbye. I'm sensitive to being controlled or criticized, or I'm sensitive to tone of voice or yelling. That what I'm sensitive to raises my alarms and says, you don't love me, you don't care for me. And we, as husbands and wives, need to be really aware of that, that we bring these sensitivities that puts the meaning on and interprets for us what is going on. And if we're not aware of that, we can keep interpreting, you know, you walked away, you didn't think of me, you finished my sentence, you talked over me, and those begin to mean you don't love me or care for me. And when we're not able to come back and repair, you know, last night you finished my sentence, you talked over me, you didn't order me my soda, you ordered your own, I felt unloved, uncared for, and then I sulked the whole night to guard and protect myself, and then you got mad, and then finally you shut down. If we don't come back and repair and say, what was really going on? Did you really mean to hurt me when you finished my sentence, talked over me, and didn't order me my soda? Were you really saying, I don't care about you anymore? You're not my priority? Or, you know, was that you just being forgetful, maybe being rude? Or was that my dragon and I was oversensitive? Or was it a bit of both? And being able to come back and talk about it requires us, as you said, to be influenceable, that I can say, do I actually finish sentences? Do I talk over my spouse? I need to self-reflect. I need to be aware of that about myself and to come back and say, you know what, love? I do have that ability. And I'm sorry, I did it last night and it hurt your feelings. And then I got mad that your feelings were hurt. And so I was rude. And then we got into this cycle. I'm saying I'm not as bad as you say I am, and I'm protecting myself, and then you're upping the ante to make sure I hear how bad I am, and we got stuck in our cycle. And when a couple has an ability to be influenceable, pull back, take a look at what happened, and to reaffirm the safe haven, I do love you, but you're right. I can be critical. I can be edgy. I can finish sentences. And I don't want to do that because I do love you and care for you. I don't want you to feel like I don't love and care for you.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host here, along with my son, Zach Clinton. Our special guest today is Dr. Sharon May. She is the founder and president of Safe Haven Relationship Center in San Diego, California. By the way, Sharon hosts marriage intensives, and I have sent a lot of couples her way. I have such high regard for her and her ministry. She is a game changer, she and her entire team out there at Safe Haven Relationship Center. Sharon, I remember a conversation you and I had, and you talked about being tense and tired. A lot of couples who get caught up in this spin, this cycle, they're exhausted. And the anger and the fear only soar, which destroy intimacy. In other words, I become even more prickly by the day. It's like I feel like I'm in a corner, and what I want to do is bite you because I'm so tired of you. I'm tired of this. And Sharon, I think people are unaware or underaware that even in the name of love, meaning they're trying to save the marriage, they're only spinning more and more out of control because they're setting up unrealistic expectations. And they're so disappointed and so discouraged and so frustrated that everybody's just wanting to go at each other. Sharon, you talk about safe haven marriages where love flourishes. And you say it's the heart of getting through this piece. Take us there for a moment. Help us understand.
Yes. You know, you're right. Couples today are tired. They're stressed.
They are.
They're busy. And couples today don't have the extended family support like they used to. And so they're usually alone raising children. Both spouses nowadays in a lot of places have to work. And getting kids to school and home and homework and extracurriculum sports and then cooking healthy meals and the pressure of doing it well with excellence and the competition between other families.
They don't have anything to give.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, they're irritated, they're frustrated, and they're on thin ice. They're tired and they're spent. And then, you know, couples come together to try and get the kids through the night. They don't have anything left for each other. And so the fuse is short and they can go 0 to 60 very quickly. And they accuse each other very quickly, you know, by what you meant by that and your tone of voice and your look, and you don't help. You know, a lot of wives say, I feel like I have an extra child with my husband, and men feel I can never do enough and it's not good enough. You don't do it her way exactly. You're a big disappointment. And wives are saying, you know, I don't want another child. I'd rather be doing this on my own. And men say, I don't want to live under all this criticism and I just can't be enough.
Sharon, I saw a meme the other day. I got to say this. It was this guy, he said, my wife can't remember where her phone is. But she remembers what I did June 6th at 7 p.m. on this day, this year. and I thought, you know what? We don't necessarily get hysterical, as we've often heard. We get historical. We go back. And those wounds or those triggers bring us back to those places where we felt really exposed and hurt. And we think, you know what? You're going right there again. I want to jump into some of John Gottman's work just for a second here. He said, if you fight a lot, you tend to emotionally engage quickly. That's what you were saying. You escalate quickly. But Gottman said it's not if you fight. This is reinforcing what you said, but it's how you fight. So what you do is you teach people how to handle disconnect, people who feel tense and begin to argue or fight, and how to navigate that. And what I also found fascinating with Gottman was that he said those who tend to fight tend to love well. So if you learn to fight well, you can love well. Can you connect all those dots for us real quick? I know we're running out of time, but
you're very right. Not arguing is not the goal. Because if we don't argue, we're actually emotionally disconnected. And when all we do is argue, and we then so get triggered and easily wounded by each other, it can be damaging to the bond. We begin to believe you don't care for me. But it's finding that balance of being able to pull back and understand our argument cycle. What is going on? When I get triggered and I feel you're not there for me, and then I get angry and then I attack you, then you defend yourself and then you pull back, you shut down, I come after you, and then finally I give up. How can we understand our argument cycle? I call it the dragon-fueled cycle. How do we really understand it? And how can we pull back when we're in it or we're starting it or we're afterwards to be able to look at it and say, What did I really want you to understand? What was really going on? What did trigger me? What made me feel unsafe? What did I want you to really know? What was my legitimate criticism that I couldn't get across because we just got into our argument cycle? And all couples have an argument cycle. They might have various topics that they argue about, but they have the same old cycle. And when couples can recognize it, not be scared by it, but know how to unravel it and do it differently and get to the heart of an argument, it helps them navigate their way back to each other.
Sharon, I know in your counseling ministry out there, you've partnered up with your son, Alan. Tell us a little bit about what he's doing and how God's using him.
Yeah, so Alan does the intensives as well. And he works with highly conflictual couples and military couples, as well as the younger couples. And what he's discovering with the younger couples is that they're coming in marriage, into marriage, expecting marriage to be easy and flow. And the younger generation are very insight oriented. And they're also not so traditional. And so their high expectations that marriage should be going well has been very stressful on these young couples' generation marriages. And they also come into marriage with a lot of stress, financial stress, raising children alone, the loneliness epidemic. They are usually isolated. And so couples come into a marriage stressed, alone, and disillusioned. And sometimes not as committed if they're not faith-based to really put the work in. And they do feel if it is this much work, maybe it's not worth it. And it is important for the multi-generational couples to come alongside this younger generation to really help them navigate the difficulties that they face in marriage today.
Sharon, we're out of time, but if people want to learn more about you, the Safe Haven Relationship Center, your Safe Haven Marriage Intensives, maybe your resources like Safe Haven Marriage or How to Argue So Your Spouse Will Listen, where can they go?
Yes, they can go to safehavenrelationshipcenter.com. And they can also find Safe Haven Marriage, my book that outlines how we are in a connected, a safe haven for each other, and how to argue so your spouse will listen, ways to make sense of this argument cycle. But we look forward to answering questions and providing resources for couples who are struggling.
What a delightful conversation today. Seriously, it's a gift to us all. We are in a fight, you know that, and the evil one, anything that smacks of beauty, of righteousness, all hell will be against. And I believe that one of the battlegrounds is our love and marriages. And so God, strengthen our hearts and our resolve. And Sharon, thank you for your commitment to couples, how you love and really care for people. What a blessing you've been to me and so many people we've sent your way. Thank you again for what you do, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, our mission is to connect those seeking help with a provider who offers the faith-based care they need. At CCC, we offer free mental health assessments for the user to help gauge their psychological and emotional well-being, as well as free self-help blog resources to help educate readers on topics such as depression, anxiety, and more. Christian Care Connect bridges the gap between those seeking help and the caregivers offering it, fostering connections rooted in clinical excellence. If you're looking for help, it's closer than you think. And if you're a provider who's ready to offer help, this site is for you too. Visit ChristianCareConnect.com to find the help you need or get listed as a provider. That's ChristianCareConnect.com.
Do people ever come to you asking for help? Maybe hope? How about prayer? Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.